Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Good Wednesday morning. We're following a dangerous storm system. It's on the move.
And it's already spawned devastating tornadoes. Good morning. It's April 17th. This is today. Outbreak.
It's coming our way.
That's a big old tornado.
A string of tornadoes tears through the Midwest, causing damage across multiple states. Millions of people at risk for even more severe weather today. Out tracking the threat. Seven down, the first set of jurors seated at Donald Trump's criminal trial. The process moving faster than expected, with 11 more yet to be picked. Just ahead, when the trial is now expected to start, and what happened inside the courtroom that led the judge to dress down the former president. Sounding the alarm.
I think it's as serious as I have ever seen in my lifetime.
Our exclusive interview with a Boeing whistleblower set to testify on Capitol Hill today. His explosive claims of a potentially fatal flaw with one of the company's most commonly used jets that he says could cause it to break apart mid-flight. Here they come. The first of what could be trillions of noisy cicadas now emerging across the country inside the once in a 200-year invasion. Those stories, plus on the run.
The elephant walking down the road. Oh my God.
Wild video of an elephant loose on a busy city street racing through traffic, even by a casino. How that chaotic chase finally came to an end. And Olympic milestone. The countdown to Paris hits 100 days. The City of Light preparing to host the world.
This is where it's all going to happen.
And we'll bring Paris to the plaza for a huge party filled with Team USA hopefuls.
USA! USA!
As we say bonjour today, Wednesday, April 17th, 2024.
From NBC News, this is Today with Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to today. It's a Wednesday morning. Nice to have you along with us. Or should we say bonjour?
I knew you were going to do that. Did you look outside?
I can't stop speaking franglais. It's a mix of French and English.
Look at these guys. These are USA Olympic hopefuls on our plaza. When I rolled up this morning, our plaza looks amazing, doesn't it?
It's been completely transformed. Mm-hmm. We got Team USA hopefuls. We've got the NBC patisserie out there. As I told you, I can't stop.
You can't
stop with the French words. Let's get to our news story. People across the Midwest cleaning up this morning after severe weather slammed the area, spawning a string of destructive tornadoes. Al's going to tell us where that system is headed in just a moment. But first, NBC's Shaq Brewster in New London, Iowa this morning, where one of those tornadoes touched down. He's Shaq, good morning.
Good morning, Savannah. And as the sun starts to rise, seems like the one behind me will only become more clear. You see this building now essentially a pile of rubble, the result of just one of nearly two dozen tornadoes to sweep their way across the country just yesterday. It's a threat that's now heading east with millions of people under new weather alerts.
Overnight, alarms sounding as a dangerous tornado outbreak swept through the plains and Midwest.
Not looking good.
Reports of more than 20 tornadoes.
It's coming our way.
Tearing roofs off buildings, snapping trees, and leaving homes in tatters.
That's a big old tornado.
Funnel clouds spotted from Kansas and Nebraska.
Look at that funnel right up there.
To Illinois and Missouri, where authorities say a tornado in Smithville injured two people when it toppled their camper. Tornadoes across the region turning buildings into rubble, with wind gusts in some areas reaching up to 70 miles an hour.
The roof just got picked up and it flipped over on itself.
In Iowa, a tornado took the roof off this church.
I don't know if we'll end up fixing the building or if it'll be a total loss.
And in the Quad Cities, even forecasters at the National Weather Service forced to hunker down, posting on social media, during the tornado warning, we took cover in our storm shelter at the office. A Sioux County sheriff posting this picture of this mangled playset, As a deputy sheriff caught dramatic lightning strikes on his cruiser's dashcam video, the severe weather also impacting air travel across the Midwest, with over 600 flights delayed out of Chicago's Midway Airport alone. All part of a severe weather system now moving east, with more rain, hail, and tornadoes possible.
And the National Weather Service this morning says it is going to deploy storm survey damage teams to scenes like the one that you see behind me. And it's not just a threat of tornadoes. We know that yesterday there were also thousands of Iowans who were without power. It's a threat that's going to continue to move east as these storms continue to move. Savannah?
All right, Jack Brewster leading us off. Thank you.
As we said, that severe weather is far from over. It's actually on the move, Al.
That's right. In fact, guys, we've got a 1-2 punch of storms. Good morning, everybody. You can see this one line starting to develop low pressure, heavy thunderstorms from the Dakotas all the way down into Ohio. So here are the two storms. The first storm is for today. That's going to give us big problems. Second storm with snow back through the Rockies going to bring that severe threat for tomorrow. So for today into tonight, a line of severe storms developed by the afternoon, wet weather, moving into the northeast today. So we've got these two areas we're worried about from Detroit, Cleveland, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Fort Wayne, a risk of tornadoes, wind gusts of up to 60 miles per hour, Kansas City, Joplin, Missouri as well. We can't rule out tornadoes there either. Now, tomorrow, this next front dives down from the south, from the plains, showers and thunderstorms from Texas all the way into the Midwest. Again, we've got a two-tiered area of risk from Waco, Dallas, and Texarkana for wind gusts for 14 million people. Also St. Louis, Evansville, Poplar Bluff, strong storms and damaging hail as well. Guys.
All right, Al, thank you very much. We'll get back to you. The jury that will decide Donald Trump's fate is beginning to take shape. The first jurors have now been chosen at his historic criminal trial here in New York. NBC senior legal correspondent Laura Jarrett is here with more from the courthouse. Hey, Laura, good morning.
Hey, Savannah, good morning to you. What started as a painfully slow process turned into a far more revealing look at the lives of the people brought into court, their digital footprints laid bare, a remarkable moment as several were forced to explain things they said about the former president years ago online, now directly to his face.
Seven people now officially sworn in as jurors to hear the people of the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump. A cross-section of Manhattan residents openly revealing their views of the likely GOP nominee as Mr. Trump sat in court listening to lawyers spar over who could be fair and impartial.
Everything is screwed up in New York. And the whole world is watching.
Roughly two dozen prospective jurors eventually whittled down to the foreman, a 28-year-old in sales, originally from Ireland, two attorneys, an oncology nurse, an IT consultant, a teacher, and a software engineer. Those jurors getting only a short preview of the charges Mr. Trump has pled not guilty to for falsifying business records in an effort, prosecutors say, to bury evidence of a payout to an adult film actress on the eve of the 2016 election, something Mr. Trump has repeatedly denied. The final panel of 12 jurors and six alternates will stay anonymous, but some prospective jurors were confronted Tuesday with old social media posts uncovered by the defense team. One man who wrote, quote, lock him up on Facebook, removed by the judge for cause. Others expressing support for the former president. The often tedious nature of the jury selection process turning into almost an impromptu focus group. One woman saying he stirs the pot. One man revealing he was a big fan of The Apprentice in middle school. A former corrections officer saying he kind of enjoys the way Mr. Trump walks into a room. One of the excused jurors finding the process surreal.
You get the sense that it's like, oh, this is just another guy. And also he sees me talking about him, which is bizarre.
But day two of trial was also marked by a flash of anger from the judge, appearing disturbed by something inaudible Mr. Trump apparently muttered as a juror was questioned about Facebook posts, scolding the former president, I will not have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom.
So, Laura, jury selection, which was going so slow, suddenly, yeah. Oh, we've got six jurors seated. We got seven jurors seated. So how does this affect the timeline?
I think it's going to start to move a lot faster now, guys, because remember, they only have a certain number of strikes for any reason they want. You can't use race or gender or anything like that, but otherwise you can strike them for any reason you want. And now both sides are only down to four strikes left, and they still have a ways to go. They still need to get five jurors and six alternates. So court will start up again with a new batch of people on Thursday.
All right. Laura, thank you very much.
Meantime, time, a Boeing whistleblower will appear before Congress today, claiming that one of the company's most widely flown planes has a serious flaw, one that could potentially bring it down. He spoke exclusively to NBC's senior correspondent Tom Costello. Tom, good morning. And this is a current Boeing engineer, right?
That's right. He says he's already gone to the FAA. The FAA is investigating. Today, he will go to Congress and he will claim that the 787 Dreamliner is the issue here. This is a plane that has safely flown hundreds of millions of passengers worldwide, but he says it has a flaw that could lead to catastrophe if it's not addressed. Boeing says that is simply inaccurate and false.
It's one of Boeing's best-selling aircraft, transporting 875 million passengers on 1,100 planes worldwide over the past 12 and a half years. But today, a Boeing whistleblower will tell Congress he's concerned that the 787 Dreamliner may have a dangerous flaw.
Right now, to me, I see we have real problem in our hand.
15-year Boeing engineer Sam Salapour says the gaps between the big pieces of the fuselage are too big. And even though the fuselage pieces are fastened together, the stress could lead to fatigue failure and disaster after thousands of flights.
When the plane can break apart in altitude and drop to the ground, I think that's a safety issue.
You really think that's what's at stake here?
That's exactly what's at stake here. Fatigue failure has no mercy on anybody.
But Boeing is pushing back hard, telling NBC News, we are fully confident in the 787 Dreamliner because of the comprehensive work done to ensure the quality and long-term safety of the aircraft. These claims about the structural integrity of the 787 are inaccurate. Since 2020, Boeing has been under FAA supervision as it tightens paper-thin gaps between the fuselage components, stress testing the plane through 165,000 takeoffs and landings, more than three times a typical 787's lifespan. Of the 1,100 planes in service, 689 have already gone through various inspections. So far, zero evidence of fatigue.
This whistleblower's concerns, while I'm sure are very sincere, I don't think matches what Boeing is saying is happening out in the fleet.
Salapour admits he doesn't have full access to all of Boeing's data since he moved off the 787 project in 2022. He claims in retaliation for raising concerns internally. Boeing says it does not tolerate retaliation.
Would you put your family on a 787 right now?
I would not.
Boeing will be in a Senate committee's crosshairs today after two fatal MAX 8 crashes overseas, the MAX 9 door plug blowout, and admitted quality control lapses at Boeing.
If we have another crash, I am not sure if Boeing can survive that or not. And that's what I'm trying to prevent.
Salapour tells me he is coming forward now because he has tried for 3 years to bring these issues up internally within Boeing, but he says he got nowhere. Nobody was listening to him. So he will tell his story today to Congress. FAA says it is already investigating. To reiterate, Boeing insists this is a very safe aircraft that has been stress tested robustly for years. Hoda.
All right, Tom Costello for us. Thank you, Tom. Capitol Hill now, support appears to be growing among House Republicans to potentially oust Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. And this drama is playing out after he unveiled a new plan to vote on funding for Ukraine and Israel. It isn't sitting well with fellow Republicans or the White House. NBC's Capitol Hill correspondent Ryan Noble's on the story this morning. So is this a real threat to Speaker Johnson's job?
Yes, Savannah, good morning. It certainly is the biggest threat that he's faced since taking over the gavel nearly 6 months ago. But it really all depends on whether more Republicans sign on to this effort to oust him, which he's called absurd. So far, there are only two. It stems in part from the speaker's plan to introduce four separate bills providing funding for Ukraine and Israel, something that he has stalled on in part because of GOP opposition to Ukraine aid. So this was a strategy to get around that and give members the choice on what bill to vote on. But it does seem to have backfired, at least for now. And if the vote to oust him comes to the floor, he may need to depend on Democrats to save his job because of the razor-thin majority that he currently has. And to put this into context, Johnson stepped into the job after former Speaker Kevin McCarthy was ousted for advancing a bill with support from Democrats, all of it revealing the deep divisions within the GOP impacting their ability to govern. Savannah?
And it only takes one member of Congress to get that motion to vacate the speakership. Let's talk about another item. The House impeached Homeland Security Mayorkas. The articles of impeachment, which are basically the charges, now go over to the Senate for a trial. But what is expected to happen there?
Yeah, that's right. The Senate today is expected to swear in senators as jurors, but it is expected to be an incredibly short trial against Mayorkas. Republicans say that he ignored the law and created chaos at the border. But Democrats argue that this is nothing more than a political stunt. They're planning to dismiss or table the trial as soon as this week. Savannah?
Ryan Noble's on the Hill for us. Thank you.
Now let's move to escalating tensions in the Middle East. Israelis' war cabinet meeting again today, debating how best to respond to Iran's weekend drone and missile strikes. And we're now learning in the wake of that attack, the U.S. will impose new sanctions against Tehran. NBC's chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel joins us now from Tel Aviv. Hey, Richard, good morning.
Good morning, Hoda. So Israel, yes, is still trying to calibrate its expected response to Iran's attack this weekend. And Iran this morning made it clear it will not hesitate to strike back.
Iran's president this morning couldn't have been more clear with a message to Israel. Don't attack. Speaking at an army parade, he said that even the tiniest invasion by Israel would bring a massive and harsh response. We visited an Israeli military base where weapons used against Israel since October 7th are collected and analyzed. The Hamas weapons are deadly, but mostly small. Grenades and rockets with ranges of 50 miles or less. What Iran launched was in a different league.
This is the tail end of one of the ballistic missiles that Iran fired at Israel over the weekend, where the engine was. It broke off when this missile was intercepted. And it's only when you're standing right up next to these do you understand how big they are. That's where the warhead was. It also broke off, carrying 800 pounds of explosives. Had these gotten through, it would have been catastrophic.
Gazans are now living in a constant catastrophe. Our crew filmed the casualties from an Israeli airstrike on a market in central Gaza. Medical officials say at least 12 people were killed, with many injured. Israel accuses the militants of hiding among civilians. The war here is polarizing, triggering protests and hatred on both sides, in part because of false information, often deliberately planted. This morning, we visited Syabra, a private Tel Aviv-based company that tracks disinformation. The company is releasing its findings this morning on Iran's weekend attack. Its results show that 26% of the social media accounts discussing the attack were fake, created to sway opinion.
The red is the fake, the green is the real.
They pushed three main narratives, sowing panic that World War III is imminent, that Israel is a terrorist state, and that Iran is a powerful nation.
It is disturbing how polluted our social media feeds always are, and it gets much worse during a time of crisis, a troubling sign when you look ahead at the U.S. presidential elections or other major events. And also today, the Treasury Department is preparing new sanctions against Iran. Hoda.
All right, Richard Engel for us there in Tel Aviv. Richard, thanks.
Now to a dramatic rescue from a cruise ship 180 miles off the coast of Puerto Rico. A pregnant passenger had a medical emergency, needed to be evacuated from that ship. So the U.S. Coast Guard was called in on Monday, used a Jayhawk helicopter to hoist the 35-year-old woman along with the cruise's onboard doctor. She was flown to a San Juan hospital for treatment.
Wow.
Brave Coast Guard workers there. Yeah.
All right, 7:18. Let's turn back to Mr. Roker. Get a check of the national forecast.
All right, guys. We've got some rain moving into the northeast. Beautiful down through the southeast into Florida. Sunshine making its way from Texas into the mid-plains. Some showers around the Great Lakes. Look for heavy snow in the northern Rockies and part of the Cascades. Fire risk for the southwest and up and down the west coast. Gorgeous weather. And that's your latest weather, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Sal.
Just ahead, some are calling it the cicada apocalypse. If you could pronounce that, the noisy nationwide bug invasion, hundreds of years in the making. It is just getting started. Maggie Vespa with the story. Hi, Maggie.
Hey, Savannah. Yeah, even now that video is hard to watch. Yeah, people calling this cicada apocalypse, cicadageddon. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event that admittedly a lot of people might be okay with skipping. But nevertheless, scientists say the first signs are upon us, with trillions more of those bugs expected to crawl up out of the soil. Brace yourselves, guys. That's coming up.
Ooh. All right. Plus, have you heard of eldest daughter syndrome? We're going to take a closer look at the debate over birth order that's erupted online and the woman who started it. But first, this is Today on NBC.
Alpha 1-9er, commence Wi-Fi device checklist.
Laptops on. TVs streaming. Game console consoling. Smart thermostat set for cuddle time. Doorbell camera. Oh, my package is here.
Fast, reliable, able to power tons of devices inside your home at once.
All systems go. You are clear for takeoff.
This is Xfinity Internet, Wi-Fi built to wow. And watch the short film, The Aviators, now playing at Xfinity.com. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy has done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Back now, 7:30. What an exciting morning on our plaza. That's our Eiffel Tower. That's the Olympic countdown clock, as you can see. 100 days to go until the Paris Olympics, and we are marking that moment in style. Because guess what we did? We transformed our plaza into the City of Light with the help of a bunch of USA hopefuls. Yeah. It's going to be so much fun.
We're going to spend the whole hour out next hour. So we're going to chat with these USA hopefuls. Chanel's in.
Good morning.
Craig this Chanel. Morning. Lots to look forward to.
Yes. So before we dive into the Paris Olympics today, let's talk about another event that's already underway here in the U.S. Billions, potentially trillions of cicadas. Set to swarm huge portions of the country.
Look at their little red eyes. Oh. It's all thanks to a rare double emergence that hasn't happened in 200 years. NBC's Maggie Vespa in Chicago with more. Hi, Maggie. Good morning.
Hey, guys. It is shocking that no one fought me for this assignment. So nevertheless, here we are. Scientists are calling this cicadageddon, and they say, indeed, it has begun. With cicada heads, a.k.a. superfans, spotting the bugs that look like these. This one is fake because my producer is kind. On leaves and trees in just a couple of states. And they say that is just the beginning, because this invasion across the Midwest and South is expected to be unlike anything seen or heard in centuries.
This morning, the cicadas are coming.
There will be a record amount of bugs bursting from the ground in the next few months.
And Americans are bracing.
They are these massive, loud bugs that fly everywhere.
For a double dose of creepy, crawly impact.
If I see one, I'm not going outside.
It's all thanks to a once-in-a-lifetime double emergence with two cicada broods, one that's lived underground for 13 years, the other for 17, crawling out of the soil across the Midwest and South, overlapping in multiple states, including Illinois and Iowa. Some of the first spotted this week in the Carolinas.
How many cicadas are we talking?
Somewhere in the hundreds of billions to trillions.
It's trillions plural.
Trillions plural, yes.
The last double emergence, 1803, when Thomas Jefferson was president. Anticipation sparking nicknames like Cicadageddon, with cicada heads launching cicada tracking apps. And in Chicago, painting giant plaster versions for a citywide cicada parade.
Why do you want to add more?
Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? This moment is magical.
Some even sharing old viral videos of recipes for the uber cicada curious. At Chicago's Field Museum, visitors are buzzing.
Do you think that looks cool or is that gross?
It looks like both.
It looks both?
Scientists excited to educate people about these winged plant-eating insects. with that sound, synonymous with the start of summer.
Millions of them is kind of like a really big, loud chainsaw.
What is billions or trillions going to sound
many,
like?
Many, many chainsaws going at the same time. This is the coolest thing ever.
Cool to some people. I mean, it definitely depends on your take. I have been asked to point out, by the way, this one is not anatomically correct. It is larger, so consider this like the mutant version of what you're about to see. Scientists do stress that cicadas, for what it's worth, are completely harmless to humans, and they're mostly harmless to the environment and plants. They say the only time it's really an issue is if they completely cover like a small young plant that you have, and then maybe you want to brush it off and try to cover those plants. And guys, if it's any consolation, they only live about a month, so this will be relatively short-lived, but it will be epic, hence the online mutant merch and the rock concert-like t-shirts that are already available online. So we are outfitted and ready because this thing is coming, whether we want it or not.
I thought you said cicada tempura, and then I blacked out. So I just want to make sure that I heard that right.
I like the shirt. Yeah.
We did.
Maggie, yeah. Chief Cicada Correspondent, thank congrats on the promotion. We'll check back in. Thank you.
Thank you. Right.
Still ahead, we'll turn from a bug invasion to an escaped elephant. Have you seen this video? The story behind its dash for freedom and the chaos it caused.
But first, we can't hit 100 days at the Olympics without going straight to Paris. That's where Keir Simmons is. Hey, Keir.
Hey there, good morning. How about this? What a view of the opening ceremony on the Seine you get from here. And behind the Eiffel Tower there, they are constructing the seating for the beach volleyball. We'll take you there coming up.
Join me, Esther Perel, every Monday in my office on Where Should We Begin? I'm talking to couples and individuals about love and work, about turning conflict into connection. More than ever, our relationships define the quality of our lives. So let's explore the myriad of relational challenges together. See you Monday.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or anytime. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
We are back, 7:39. Our countdown to the Paris Olympics is on, just 100 days away now.
We couldn't wait. So we decided that we're going to bring a touch of Paris right to our plaza this morning. Isn't this really cool? We're going to get to that party on our plaza in just a bit. But first, let's say we get the real deal. NBC's Keir Simmons is in Paris with a behind-the-scenes look at how the city's getting ready to host the world. Hey, Keir.
Hoda, Savannah, bonjour to you. How spectacular is this? Picture it. The opening ceremony on the River Seine, 10,500 athletes on 160 boats, more than 300,000 people lining the banks of the river, kicking off one of the biggest events Paris has ever held.
This morning, the Olympic flame en route from Greece to Paris. Just 100 days from the City of Lights, first Olympics in 100 years. And now a first glimpse of the stunning venues built at some of the city's most famous sites.
Oh my goodness. It's incredible.
Under the Eiffel Tower, NBC News shown around the beach volleyball.
This is exciting. I mean, to actually see it like this, you get a really a feeling for how it's going to be.
Yeah, indeed. It is really exciting. You can almost feel the atmosphere of the 13,000 people.
The centerpiece set to be the River Seine, hosting the opening ceremony. This week, President Macron saying for the first time that France has backup locations planned if security threats arise. Now, many Olympic locations visible from a riverboat or bateau mouche. My guide, Paris podcaster Oliver G.
This is where it's all going to happen. This is the Pont Alexandre III, a really famous bridge. And on both sides, we're going to be having Olympic events.
That side and this side?
Both.
Wow.
In total, there are 24 venues scattered in and around Paris. In the Place de la Concorde, skateboarding, and for the first time, breakdancing. At Les Invalides, archery,
in the Grand Palais, taekwondo and fencing. While just 9 miles outside Paris, the spectacular Château de Versailles, home of Louis XIV, who had a passion for horses, will stage the Olympic equestrian events.
There will be a beautiful perspective on the Grand Canal and with a backdrop with the Château de Versailles.
Up to 40,000 spectators will watch competing riders encircle the magnificent golden fountains. Then a different kind of gold. At a French jewellery house, the Paris 2024 medals, set with tiny fragments of the Eiffel Tower and encased in bespoke Louis Vuitton trunks. Heightened security means every apartment overlooking events will be searched.
Your Parisian apartment.
Boston native Susan Godden shows us around her magnificent Paris home.
Look at this!
She has volunteered to greet athletes when the games begin.
It's such a beautiful city, and I want everyone that comes here to have a wonderful experience and walk away, fall in love with it like I have.
And here we are live again. Later today, the French will unveil, guys, their outfits for the opening ceremony. Tuxedos, très chic. And I can't wait for you guys to be here and bring the sunshine with you.
Absolutely.
We can't wait either, Kara. It's going to be fun.
Fab. Thank you, Kara. You know who else is in Paris this morning? Our friend Mike Tirico, NBC Olympics primetime host. Mike, you and I were there a year ago. I thought we'd always have Paris, but apparently you're going solo today. Tell us about the excitement there and the mood this morning.
I know. Keir and I are hanging out. We missed you, Savannah.
Yeah.
Keir started without his rain jacket, so I couldn't be out tuffed by Keir, so I had to lose my jacket as well. I was driving around the city and walking around yesterday. I've got to tell you, from when we were here in June and July and now, huge difference. As Keir just showed you, the venues are getting ready, the venues that are going to incorporate the iconic sites in Paris. You come back to Paris 3-4 months from when I was last here, and you say, you can feel the Olympics starting to come alive. I think it's going to be a terrific summer, 100 days away.
A lot of people are looking forward, Mike, to the opening ceremony. It's going to be one like no other. I mean, there are so many cool, interesting, unique things. What do you know so far?
Yeah, as you both know, you'll be a part of it with us. The opening ceremony down the River Seine is going to be something the likes of which we've never seen before. It's always been the athletes walking into a stadium with the flags and the placards with each country's name. But the schedule is to have them float down the Seine, and that will be some scene in that temporary area where they're going to come to for the end of the procession, and the start of the ceremony is set up with the backdrop of the Eiffel Tower as well. So as the planning continues for that, we find out more and more, and we get more excited for what truly would be a one-of-a-kind kickoff to the Olympic Games.
And let us not forget the competition. Always one of the biggest sports to watch, gymnastics. We're all crossing our fingers that Simone Biles will come back and go for number, I guess it'd be her third Olympics, right? What are you hearing?
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be her third Olympics. I think we saw last summer when she came back, won the Worlds, won the all-around there. There is a reality to the Simone Biles comeback. It would be a fitting final chapter, if it is the final chapter, to her extraordinary career. And I've enjoyed hearing her open up about everything that happened in Tokyo and how excited she is to try to make it happen again in Paris to win the all-around for a second time. And non-consecutively, that's never happened before. Hey, you know the big names. Katie Ledecky's in there as well. She has 3 medals to win to become the most decorated American female in Olympic history. So there's so many different names there. And obviously basketball. I mean, we all have basketball fever, basketball playoffs starting, March Madness ending, the Caitlin Clark comet that's going across the sky right now. All the basketball teams, men's and women's, to the U.S., really with a great opportunity to bring back gold. For the women, it would be 8, which would be an all-time record for a team. And that men's team, we're going to hear some of the big names that are going to be on that team coming up later this morning with you all.
I like you call it the Caitlin Clark comet. We like that. Let's talk track and field for a second. Noah Lyles is big. Sha'Carri Richardson is amazing. What do we expect there?
So you have to go back to 1988, Hoda, the last time that the U.S. had the fastest man and the fastest woman. That's usually the unofficial title that the winner of the 100 meters gets. And we could see that with both Noah Lyles and Sha'Carri Richardson. It's not easy. There's competition even from American athletes as well, especially on the men's side. But there is a chance after we watched them both in the Worlds last year, there could be stars and stripes representing the fastest man and woman in the world come early, August of 2024.
Wow, pumped. And what about breakdancing, Mike? No, I'm just kidding. It is the newest Olympic sport.
It is. It's crazy.
We've got a potential Olympian out on our plaza, actually. Yeah. We're just getting started. Tirico, thank you.
Great to see you all. Can't wait for you all to get here and join us.
Can't wait either.
All right, we're going to head out to the plaza to check out its French makeover and chat with some of the hopeful stars of Team USA in just a moment.
You know who's already out there enjoying it? Mr. Roker. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. Well, bonjour. Here at the Arc de Triomphe. And this is actually built to size. That's how tall these guys are for the 3x3 men's basketball team. So welcome, guys, to our plaza. Good to see you. And guess what? Guys, this hat, so our team, they ordered regular baseball caps, but they accidentally ordered these. So it's pretty good. But the good news is, Hoda, this will fit your hair. So it's fantastic. I love this. Anyway, let's show you what we've got going on as far as your weather is concerned. Look at these temperatures. Denver, 72 degrees today. Raleigh, 83. Atlanta, 9 degrees above average. Baton Rouge and Austin, both 86 degrees tomorrow. D.C., you're going to be near 80. Nashville, mid-80s. Augusta, 91. And then front moves through, and we're going to watch those temperatures get a little bit cooler. Erie, you're going to be in the 40s. D.C., down into the 60s. Temperatures cool off even down into Nashville. And that's your latest weather. Look at all the things. We got even got macaroons. We got macaroons here. We got cheese. We got bread. It's fantastic, guys. Can't wait for you to get out here.
We can't see it because your hat is blocking the view.
That's right. I've been told I have a big head, but this just about proves it.
Side view really is something.
That is amazing. They thought they were ordering normal hats.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, thank you, Al. Coming up, the debate that's heating up the internet and pitting siblings against each other. How does birth order impact who you are? And what exactly is eldest daughter syndrome?
We're going to get into that coming up right after this.